Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Error. Network not found. A few years ago, free Wi-Fi, that's wireless high-speed internet access, seemed like a foregone conclusion. Philadelphia had announced an ambitious plan to provide wireless internet access to almost the entire city. San Francisco, Chicago, Houston, and cities large and small around the country followed suit, though Mayor Bloomberg opposed it as a public utility here. They partnered with giant telecom companies and energized community organizations. The digital divide was being bridged. Well, things look much different today. The hard truth about how enormous, expensive, and technologically difficult such a plan is has led many cities to abandon or drastically scale back their free or low-cost Wi-Fi plans. Ian Urbina wrote a comprehensive piece about this in the New York Times this week, and he joins us now to discuss. Ian, welcome back to WNYC. Hi.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you. So let's start with Philadelphia, because they were really at the forefront of this movement, and if anybody heard about it, they heard about it as the Philadelphia plan. What happened?
What happened was it took longer than expected, and in the ensuing 2 years, between 2005, when Philly first announced their plan, and, you know, last year, a lot changed. The market shifted, prices dropped. They realized that technologically it was going to be a lot tougher to pull off, you know, a grid that spanned 135 square miles. The main company, namely Earthlink, that had sort of cornered the market on municipal Wi-Fi ambitions, had a personnel change, namely its CEO, who was the strongest advocate of trying to set up these citywide grids.
Yeah, he died.
And with him went kind of a big advocate for it and a whole mode of thinking at Earthlink. And the new CEO came in and saw that the company was struggling financially, and the company jettisoned its deals, its plans for producing city Wi-Fi. So now it's a different, you know, the technology also shifted such that new hardware emerged that made the old model seem like a waste of money. And so all those factors conspired to a situation in which you had Philly and about 10 other major cities and a handful of smaller cities left in a lurch, in which they had these really high hopes, but we're only halfway or not even, you know, through building toward the high hopes.
San Francisco is an interesting case where there was supposed to be a three-way deal with Earthlink, which, as you wrote it up, was supposed to build the grid, and Google, which would have paid to advertise through the network, helping to fund the city in providing this citywide free wireless internet access. What happened there?
Yeah, so like you said, I mean, San Francisco was the most exciting of the models, because in Philly, there were only going to be 23 purely free hotspots, and then about 20,000 free or extremely cheap accounts for low-income neighborhoods, and then the rest of the city would actually pay $20 a month, which at that time was a lot less than elsewhere. So it wasn't really going to be free for the whole city in Philly.
So let me stop you right there for a second. Was the whole idea oversold in the national media as, you know, because I remember hearing it casually as Philadelphia is going to have citywide free Wi-Fi?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. I mean, it was oversold, and the notion was it was going to be free, and that, I think, raised expectations on the ground level among residents in these cities that something was coming their way that, in fact, wasn't. It wasn't supposed to be purely free. It was supposed to be greatly reduced in price and free in certain spots. But then along came San Francisco, like you mentioned, mm-hmm. and they had sort of taken the Philly model and improved on it by bringing in Google, which, as you know, is based in that area, as the entity that would pay for the accounts, essentially, and in return, Google would get the ability to advertise ad nauseum. And, you know, that would mean that if this, you know, was achieved in San Francisco, then indeed you would have a citywide, purely free network. But again, Earthlink was the third party in that deal, and they were going to be setting up the hardware and running the server, the service. And when Earthlink sort of changed course, it did so with Philadelphia and San Francisco as well, and all of a sudden pulled out, much to the frustration of the city and especially the mayor there.
I gather that some cities in Europe are getting citywide Wi-Fi done.
Yeah, and how they do it varies, but you know, we mentioned, you know, Leipzig and Vienna, for example, both of which have, you know, significant portions of their city sort of up and running under a cloud of Wi-Fi. And I don't know the details abroad as well, but in those places they tend to have some sort of Minneapolis-style model, which is a hybrid between government-funded plus local-level participation in the infrastructure. And from what I can tell, they work quite well, and it's one of the reasons that the advocates for city municipal Wi-Fi really were excited about what was going on in San Francisco and Philly, because the U.S. is really lagging behind when it comes to accessibility of the Internet for all communities.
We have just about 5 minutes for some quick phone calls or comments to our webpage for New York Times correspondent Ian Urbina on the fate of citywide free Wi-Fi in American cities at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post a comment real quick to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehr Show. What is the underlying issue here? You know, some listeners may be hearing this and think, well, why do we need citywide free broadband access? This is going to be a bunch of hipsters walking down the street with their laptops downloading YouTube videos. But there's something much more serious, obviously, underlying this push in the first place. What is it?
I think it's twofold. One is, as you mentioned, closing the digital divide, and that's sort of code for the reality in which lower-income neighborhoods and lower-income communities are very disconnected from the Internet. And in the sort of era we're in and where we are heading, so much is becoming dependent on the Internet. High school kids have their homework posted on the Internet by teachers. You know, banking, billing, you know, so much of life is moving onto the Internet that you have this very worrisome situation in which people are sort of blocked out either because of infrastructure that doesn't run to the neighborhood or price barriers. So that's one concern that citywide Wi-Fi hope to deal with. The other is just for the broader public, the middle and upper income public, you know, a situation, a city where you have more readily accessible Internet, sort of a cloud of Wi-Fi throughout the city, has lots of benefits. I mean, it attracts investment. Businesses are eager to set up there. Public safety perspective, you know, city workers can now exchange data in real time, you know, tracking of, you know, traffic, and there are all sorts of good governance that's possible by way of erecting wireless that would benefit everyone. So I think those are both the larger motivations. I would also just throw in, just, you know, it's not all doom and gloom. I mean, there are some very promising prospects on the horizon. San Francisco is one model, and Minneapolis is another.
I know briefly in Minneapolis, I guess I know this from your article, but they're rolling out a network based on a business model that has the city promising to provide a number of subscribers, city employees, and hopefully that will make it profitable enough for the provider to then offer widespread, low-cost Wi-Fi access to the rest of the city, right?
Exactly.
Now, I just want to play a clip here, and that's why I rushed you through that answer. When Barack Obama was in New York yesterday, WNYC's Bob Henley asked him a number of things when he got a chance to talk to Obama for a few minutes, and one of Obama's answers seemed to refer to your story. Listen.
Well, there's no doubt that we've got to invest more in infrastructure. We see it in New York, but you see it in rural communities around the country. where bridges and roads and are not being kept up, and you have broadband coverage, for example, that is falling behind countries like South Korea. That's why I put forward a $60 billion infrastructure investment plan.
Now, I don't know if your story, you know, per se inspired the broadband part of that comment, but it did come just a couple of days after you had a piece in the Times about how the United States is falling behind other countries in this broadband Wi-Fi access. So it's interesting that it's on Barack Obama's radar screen.
Mm, I agree, yeah. And the rural component, without heading off, you know, on a tangent, is an interesting additional component. You know, much of what we discussed was the urban
yes.
component, but the extent to which rural communities are disconnected and what's being done to deal with that is another huge issue.
Joshua in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Joshua.
Hi. I just wanted to thank you for covering this topic. And I also wanted to say that the New York City has been having these broadband advisory committee hearings, and I was wondering, you know, what lessons Mr. Urbina has drawn that he would tell you know, this public body that's considering what to do with New York City and getting people broadband access here.
Joshua, can you tell us quickly what this city broadband advisory committee is considering?
Well, Council Member Brewer basically launched these hearings. They've been having hearings all over the city. They have one left to do in Staten Island. And they're considering, you know, not just wireless, but the full spectrum of options. They've been taking public comments, and the city's Economic Development Corporation has been hired a consultant to prepare a study and looking at all the existing infrastructure and trying to figure out, you know, how to get it into the neighborhoods that don't have broadband and get people who aren't getting online with computers and training.
Right. And you know what? I'm going to give a couple of seconds here to Andrew Roche, who ran for public advocate, some of you may remember, on this platform of promoting the idea of Wi-Fi, universal Wi-Fi citywide. He now runs the Personal Democracy Forum and other things. Andrew, we have literally 15 seconds for you, but I want to squeeze you in. Go.
So just real quick, the city of New York is actually building a wireless network right now to the tune of about $500 million. The problem is that it's not accessible to the public. It's only intended to be used for city agencies. And as was alluded to, there may be some very strong economic benefits to city efficiencies, but there still seems to be a major vision divide among city leaders about recognizing that public access is actually the way in which the city becomes stronger, not just making it available to agencies.
All right. Well, maybe it'll be an issue again in the 2009 mayoral and public advocate races. Andrew Roche, thank you for calling in. And Ian Urbina, who wrote the March 22nd New York Times article, Hopes for Wireless Cities Fade as Internet Providers Pull Out. Ian, thank you so much for coming on with us.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.